The endless parade of time. Who can say what fruits the future will see ripen? We can only keep looking towards
tomorrow's world with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
In another week of Level 4 lockdown, Isla and Stella look into how intermittent isolation could be affecting young Kiwis. They chat with Maria Corkin from the University of Auckland about her research on technoference and its influence on child development, executive functioning in kids, and the differences in outcomes depending on input. Here they are now.
Hi, Earthlings.
I'm Isla Christensen.
And I'm Stella Huggins.
Welcome back to another remote version of Tomorrow's World, the Wire segment where we investigate how science and technology relate to the individual and wider society.
Last week, we unpacked the mechanisms of episodic memory, looking at how it's an integrative rather than isolative process.
And this week, as we stared at our screens for another infinite hour, we spared a thought for all the young Kiwis doing life in lockdown and wondered how the past 2 years of intermittent isolation was affecting them.
We're working on the assumption that most of our listeners have, you know, met a child before and are familiar with how rapidly development happens.
Early childhood, in particular, is hugely influential in a lifespan.
In fact, some research groups have made the bold claim that the blueprint of your personality is laid out in these years, which begs the question of how lockdown babies are going to interact with the world once lockdowns aren't a constant part of their lives.
So this week, we had an intriguing chat with Maria Corkin from the University of Auckland about her research surrounding early childhood development and screen exposure.
What I was interested in is looking at the role of media exposure in early childhood development and the influence of parents on their children's screen time and screen use. And I looked at some of the cognitive outcomes, such as executive functions and attention and language. And I also looked at parenting practices that might be related to children's use of screens and also technoference.
Some of Maria's findings concluded that the amount of background TV going on in a kid's environment rather than just amount of screen time was a predictor of executive functioning.
Executive functioning is a set of mental skills that, for me, lockdown has degraded. Things like working memory, flexible thinking, and importantly, self-control.
These skills obviously have huge implications for how we manage ourselves. But thinking about this from a kid's point of view, the time in your life when you're building the connections and how you'll function in the future, you have to wonder how not-so-great blueprint being laid will change how you interact with the world.
Well, interestingly, we didn't find that the amount of screen time that children had across the preschool years was associated with executive functions. Instead, we found that the amount of time that TV was going in the child's environment was related, and also allowing the child to eat meals in front of TV. So it's kind of coming through that it's more having TV going in the environment that's important for executive functions rather than just examining the amount of screen time.
It's interesting that screen time alone doesn't have poor outcomes for executive functioning.
Maria points out that input matters. It's easy to make the simplistic assumption that screens equals bad, but these findings suggest otherwise. So a passive stream of noise and colours and shapes does have implications for how a child regulates themselves.
But there are types of screen time and ways of going about screen use that don't have these correlations with poor executive functioning in young kids.
In the past, there has been quite a bit of research that has found links between screen time and attention or symptoms of inattention and hyperactivity. But those studies were predominantly done on TV viewing rather than the diet of screen time that children have today. And I think overall, the quality of screen time that children have today is better quality than in the past when it was just passively watching TV. There's lots of opportunities for quite engaging educational activities. It's kind of a different ball game, really, and we might start to get different results as we get more findings on the relationships between screen time today and some of these developmental outcomes. We still found the link between the background screen media, but maybe the relationships are changing a bit with total screen time that children have.
And the work done by this research group didn't find another commonly assumed correlation: hyperactivity and screen use. This could be down to the types of screen usage examined, for example, TV watching versus educational programs, games, and interactive content.
Which reflects an interesting feature of scientific literature: its ability to keep up with real-world scenarios. Papers go through a whole lot of checks, editing, validity examinations, and all the rest of it before they can be published. Sometimes they're even rejected, and months of research is sent back to the drawing board.
Ignoring the personal how that might be for academics, it's important to know about literature.
Maria's comments about the types of screen engagement have me awfully concerned that Cool Maths Games wasn't actually good for my development, despite maths being in the title.
Considering your ability for maths now, I think times table grids may have been more helpful than Fireboy and Watergirl, but it's all in the past. If we were doing that in an in-person classroom, imagine how hard it would be to engage kids in a virtual class. Maria talks about how rules and boundaries that parents put in place for kids and screens change in difficult situations.
Lockdown definitely falls into that category.
We did find in one study that when children have had health concerns, that parents allow them to have more screen time. So that's showing that extenuating circumstances can lead parents to kind of relax their roles and expectations on how much screen time their children can have. And so certainly at the moment in COVID lockdowns, those are extenuating circumstances, and you would expect screen time to go up as parents try to cope. I think I would encourage parents to, if they are increasing screen time, to try to look for high quality activities. Also, not to feel bad if your child, you know, you feel like the child needs something to just relax and unwind as well. Occasionally, that's okay.
Maria touches on something really important here and very relevant to New Zealand, that parents with fewer options for entertainment during lockdown shouldn't feel guilty about this.
And it's very likely that this doesn't reflect a bad parenting style, but instead may be an indicator of the time availability of a parent.
And remember, the type of content consumed does matter.
While we've all heard the jokes about staying healthy because your future doctor did their degree over Zoom, lockdowns might not have had such a disastrous effect on younger kids' education.
But I think at this point, schools have been through it a few times. They have some strategies there in place. Some students enjoy learning online and actually prefer it. So I don't think you can make a general statement that all students' learning will be poorer or that there'll be, you know, lasting detrimental effects. It depends on a lot of factors.
Maria has also researched a concept called technoference, which describes real-life interactions being interrupted by someone's attention being on their device. Her research group had novel findings.
She looked at the implications of technoference on relationships between parents and children in relation to development of a kid's language. They found that even when a parent's phone was turned off, if they habitually checked it when it was on, the behaviours carried on.
Parents and anyone, really, can't just change their behaviours instantly by turning off their phone. But instead, we have to create long-standing habits. And if you're anything like me, this might be a hard behaviour to change because you always feel like there's a phantom notification that you might be missing.
Kind of on alert all of the time. It's unexpected. So it's like you're allocating some cognitive resources to the possibility that you might receive an audible notification. What I was concerned about in my research is whether that might impact on the ways that parents interact with their very young children, which is important because parent-child interactions during the preschool years and during infancy are very important for language development and vocabulary development. What we looked at was whether different types of technoference were related to the ways that parents interact with their children. Virtually everybody that a child comes into contact with now probably has a mobile phone, and a lot of them have audible notifications on. There may be very few people that the child encounters who aren't potentially affected by this, and it might mean that their interactions with other people are less optimal than they might otherwise be. Who knows what effects that could potentially have long term?
And so we don't know the long term implications of screen usage on kids in a lot of ways. simply because these kids haven't grown up yet.
In an interview with a three-year-old about how screens are affecting them probably won't yield the results we're after. So all we can do is work off the assumptions that this early research is indicating for us.
Essentially, input matters. Passive TV in the background of a kid's environment has poor outcomes for their future executive functioning, whereas other forms of directed content like educational games or videos, ebooks and the like don't have these associated negative effects.
How we're using screens with kids also matters. Maria recommends co-using, so kids aren't left to their own devices.
Hilarious.
Thanks. Having your phone on silent to reduce the amount of cognitive resource you're giving to the expectation of the off chance someone might contact you helps reduce technoference. This applies to the toddlers in your life, but also everyone else.
So there you have it. As is often the case with scientific research, the relationship between screen usage and cognitive function isn't so cut and dry.
And we'll simply have to wait and see if these factors have the enormous effect on socialising for the lockdown babies that some schools of thought think they will.
In the meantime, all you can really do is mitigate these effects and do your best with what you've got.
We hope you've been devoting your full attention to this segment, not being affected by any technoference or multitasking.
Wait, multitasking is bad now too?
That's a question for another episode.
Oh well. Kia kaha to those in level 4 dealing with endless Zooms, and stay critical, Earthlings.
Looks like everything's gonna be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95 BFM.